continuing the hunter talk, I think we just finished the control warrior discussion, which you know, agreed it's matchup, and it depends on what the situation, I guess, what's on the board and what cards each player has, but it tends to come down to the final turn too, for both sides too. I feel like hunter's typically one turn from winning too, the times it loses, but. Okay, why don't we move on to...
Wait, I didn't get to talk about it. I thought about Reyna.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's wrong. Sometimes the Warriors can have an aggressive matchup against them, and they're the aggressor, but I think that the Warrior is the definition of ability to negate their hero ability, and your goal is to just survive until the late game. Oftentimes, I've spoken with them on the board strategy, or one minion at most, and then when you look at that deck list up there, most of the hunters can put up ones of charges, and then you make a lot of their cards useless.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Strategy works. If you don't, you lose the freezing trap. So it's like you lose the freezing trap, Bo, because you can't act like if you let Bo, which is usually enough to win. Like, it's a matchup that definitely favors the Warrior deck, I think, but it's not as lopsided as some people would think. Yeah, like in my opinion, it's it depends on how both players play it. Honestly, that's all it really comes down to. It depends on the draws. I mean, I agree with that. Sometimes the Warrior is definitely the control deck. If you draw Ragnaros, you like never need to attack, and that's unless
well,
the hunters.
I mean, you have hunters. You have two hunters. Some kind of targets for that before Ragnaros comes out. Because I agree, Rag is probably the best source of damage, right? For not setting off a trap doesn't happen well. I've tried playing passive, and I've had a lot less success playing passive than aggressive, so... But I understand the logic, though, to Trump in that. I don't know. It's always difficult to make it work.
Yeah, the thing is, there's, like, two people on ladder playing this version of Hunter, so for the most versions, like, Wolf Riders or Cane Golems and stuff, now that's, like, the Hunter deck you see 90% of the time.
Yeah. Okay,
that's
moving...
That's true. I will say that, at least on the Europe server, it being this deck is seeing the two Stone Tusk 4 and then not seeing Animal Companion.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. That's true. Okay, let's moving on to the next matchup. Let's talk Warlock. Let's talk about the Warlock matchup. Trump, you want to start us off? And I guess you can... I mean, there's multiple variations of Warlock decks, right? So maybe talk... Starting off with... Let's start with Handlock.
Okay. The Handlock, I didn't taunt them up, but once you get your health low, then the hero ability of the... Hunter plus some kill commands can take you down. Mm-hmm. Basically, play the Handlock deck as you would against any aggressive deck, I'd say. And you want to, and Mortal Coil is a really good card. And try to wear out the storm, get him with Giant Slayer.
Okay, now, Reynard, we'll get your opinion on Handlock first.
You need to mulligan aggressively for a Molten Giant and kill them on turn 6, basically. It's the only way you can win. It's one of the more lopsided matchups on ladder. I think it's like maybe 28. It's probably worse than 20-80. It's probably like 90-10 in favor of Huntley play cash games at 10-1 odds from the hunter side.
Oh shit!
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. That says a lot, actually.
10-1.
Yeah. Absolutely.
10-1.
If you draw double Molten Giant though, and the hunter deck gets a sloppy draw, I've seen it happen to where turn 5 or 4 you can go double Molten Giant Sunfear, and you can't ever beat that deck. And it's like, yeah, I've never seen the game last past turn 8 in that matchup.
Trump,
that's how long it takes for Hunter to kill them.
I mean, it's bad, but it's not 10-1. I'm willing to put the money where my
mouth
is.
Go.
I'll do you 10-1.
Cash games between Trump and Reynard coming soon.
Can't do it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Love to do it off stream, though. Yeah, I might be wrong about it. I don't know. I don't think I am, though.
Oh, that's a bummer. I didn't know.
Technically different. I mean, well, you know, in any big organization, you can't make legal mad. There's no reason to take the risk for them.
Yeah, sure. But okay, 10-1. Might have been the two of you guys. But wow, I didn't think it was that much of a landslide. But
it's not that bad.
Okay.
I mean, from my opinion, it is 10-1.
You don't think any matchup's 10-1?
No.
I don't know. Hunter's a really polarizing deck. I think it's definitely a lopsided matchup. Druid versus Handlock is a little closer.
Oh, definitely closer.
I think that might be the most lopsided matchup on ladder. I don't know. Rogue versus Hunter. That's like equally lopsided, I think, as Handlock, but yeah, I don't know.
You guys play like maybe a series of, I don't know, 20 or something and see what the stats come up with there. But okay, let's talk about the Zoo deck. Or how should you play the Zudek against Hunter?
You're the aggressor, and yet you want to be afraid not to put too much stuff. Play aggressive, but play it smart is the general tidbit.
Okay, Raynaud?
From the Zudek side, you want to mulligan aggressively into Defender of Argus because any game you win is going to involve that card. Or like a really bad draw from the Hunter deck. If you're playing against the old Hunter decks with cards like Animal Companion that Zoo can ignore or Soulfire, you know, Shield Bear or Voidwalker doesn't care about, Argent Squire doesn't care about, then like the Zoo deck is definitely going to be favored. If you're playing this deck, which is nothing but card draw into Explosive Traps and Unleash the Hounds, like I think that even if it's slight, it's probably like 60-40 in my opinion in favor of Hunter. Because like the four cards that matter, which are the two Unleash and the two Explosive Traps, you just overextend with unnecessary creatures. And, yeah, keep Voidwalker and Defender of Argus as, like, the two most...
I guess Variation of Warlock, which is the Murloc. How does the Murloc deck stack up against the Hunter deck in your experience, Trump? A weird matchup, actually. I don't have much experience with that one.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat similar. Different. I'll let Raynaud explain this one.
Okay. Raynaud. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's the Zoo matchup, except the Murloc deck is like more it's like more reliant on overextending into Unleash, so it's standalone big threats. And their creatures generally have less ass, so Explosive Trap is way better. Yeah, sometimes they draw that guy and that card doesn't do as much, but if you Explosive Trap their stuff down to one health, then they get swept by Unleash, so it's still worth it.
Or more committing to putting a lot of guys, which makes the doggy so much better.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Let's see. Moving on.
Next deck is unfavored against the Hunter. I think it is closer to even. And, you know, if you didn't say that it was favored, I would even argue.
I used to think the Zoo was favored when I played it from the Zoo side, but as the Hunter decks improved, I think it got worse. And, well, I guess this moment cards that much more often. I have a hard time seeing a situation where the Zoo deck can beat two of those cards. Like if you draw one Unleash, one Explode. But it depends on like the build, the draw and the build of both decks. I think it's close, but I definitely think Hunter's favorite just because just against like Zoo's general strategy, your cards are so good. Like they want dudes and Explosive Trap and Unleash punish that. And Hunter also has inevitability, so you can't slow play it.
Yeah. That steady shot just keeps working. I see Miracle, I think, Rogue these days. There's some board control type of mid-tempo rogues out there too. But Trump, what do you think? The rogue matchup.
Yeah, well, rogue matchup is pretty bad because they, the only way you can, well, I'm going to say that, I will say that I think it's slightly less bad than some people think because use the hero ability, you're going to take the damage twice and that does suck, but at least you managed to spend on something. It plays, well, and there are a lot of different ways. If you're playing the Miracle Rogue, then, you're just playing your own game and you hope that you get a turn faster or two turns faster, depending on how good your draw is. And if you're playing the aggro rogue deck, then it's similar to Zoo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, the traps are so devastating against like a Leroy type of, combo, I think. I don't know. Raynaud, what do you think of that?
Because if you actually look at this, like, Zoo deck, or if you look at the Hunter deck that I've listed, it's it plays, like, two creatures that you can hero power. It plays Lepronome and Loot Hoarder, both of which I could not care less if they get hero powered. Because Lepronome turns into a one-mana Mind Blast, and Loot Hoarder's, like, two damage draw card. Like, that's both of those outcomes are very good. So the hero power is irrelevant. All the removals are relevant. And you just, like, hero power them, hero power them, hero power them. They play gadgets in. You play Freezing Trap. Like, I think it's enough against Miracle Rogue to really say. All I know is that I've never lost to it with Hunter on ladder this season in the 20 or so games I've played. Important things is, like, if you're playing Fair Rogue, I think you might have, like, a better chance. It really depends. Just, like, how aggressive of a draw you have. The more aggressive the draw, Explosive Trap, so you can just, like, kill them with Leroy and Coldbloods really early. But, yeah, I do think Hunter's favorite. I'm not exactly sure how much. But yeah, it's like not a deck that you see that much on ladder, so it's really tough to say.
And hopefully it's it'll be better. No more lag the rest of the way. But okay, where were we? So I think we went through five right. Classes. Oh, is it good? Okay. And let's talk about the Paladin class. which we don't see too many paladins these days on ladder, so kind of curious what you guys think. Reynard, have you started with this one?
Class is sweet. I don't know. I play it a lot in, or I used to play it a lot in cash games, and it's a super interesting deck. It's like so close to being really, really good. I think it's great against other mid-range decks. I prefer like the slower paladin deck that's not giants, but like just good removal, good high-end threats. It's just like just powerful mid-range swingy cards. That's my build of it. Like Doomsayer, Avenging Wrath, Consecrate, obviously, like True Silver, Ysera, Ragnaros, Tyrion, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that the classes for ladder, it's kind of interesting. I think if you play double Holy Light, double Earth Ring, and double of the 5/6 for 7 that gains life, I actually think the Hunter matchup might be okay. And as long as you can avoid Zoo, the deck honestly has a lot of potential.
Okay. Yeah. So the life gain version of Paladin, cool. Haven't seen that in a while, actually. Back when Kiyuki's very first version of his Paladin deck. Trump, what do you think? How the best way to play Paladin against Hunter?
Okay, well, there's no clear-cut Paladin deck so far, but I'd say if you have a life gain-y type Paladin, you might be in good shape. And if you have a taunty Paladin, also might be in good shape. If you have a aggro Paladin, which is possible, then the matchup plays a lot like Zoo. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Priest. Priest, another class that you don't see too often. Trump, what do you think?
It's a lot like the Warrior matchup against Hunter, because the hero ability is effectively the same. And I think that's about it.
I mean, there's a lot.
It's tough to say, because when you ask for Priest deck, nothing comes to mind in particular about what the Priest is.
Right,
but, and they tend to have, like, weakish minions, which is bad against Hunter. But suppose you were to play a Priest deck similar to the Warrior deck where you had some late game stuff, then it would be very similar.
But imagine if you thought stolen. You thought stole Leroy and Unleash.
Imagine if you thought steal Flare.
Flare, too, exactly.
Up on the top of Reddit.
It could be crazy. Reynard, so, what do you think?
Matchup, I mean, it really just depends on how the Priest deck's built. For classes like Priest, Mage, and Paladin, it's so uncommon on ladder that everyone's deck, like, everyone's list of it's different, so matchup will depend, like, whether they're playing the Ancient Watcher package, whether they're playing, like, Pyromancer instead, if it's, like, the all-late-game version. It just really depends on how the deck is built. But in general, it's one of those weird matchups where every time I've played it from the Priest side, or almost every time I've played it from the Priest side, I've won. And almost every time I've played it from the Hunter side, I've won. So it's like, I don't really know.
Okay.
Like, how... you don't see it enough on ladder to really say. Because I've only played against it, like, that matchup maybe, like, 8 times from both sides, and it's...
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Alright, moving on to the Mage. How does the Mage do against the Hunter, or what's the best approach to Mage? Reynard?
Mage against Hunter?
Yeah.
It's kind of... So, yeah, it's a lot like Rogue. You're good at killing off creatures early, but, like, I think the future of Hunter is just not playing creatures, except for, like, Lupernum. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the removal is going to be too useful. And the lack of life gain really hurts it. But if you can get an aggressive draw, maybe you have Mana Worm, they don't have Freezing Trap, like, mm-hmm. you get Water Elemental down, lock them out of Eaglehorn Bow somehow, like, they don't have Hunter's Mark to kill it. I could see Mage winning that matchup, definitely. If you draw a lot of burn, randomly kill them on turn 7 or 6.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, draw-dependent, and my instinct is to say that Hunter is favored, but it's probably, like, a 65-35. I could definitely see Mage winning games.
Okay. Trump, what are your thoughts?
Right, I agree.
Okay. What do you think about running Mirror Image in that matchup? Is it in the set?
Terrible.
Okay.
Oh, Mirror Image.
Yeah, Mirror Image.
Still probably bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not good against Unleash, but, yeah, I don't know how to evaluate that card. It's hard to. After, like, Dark Iron Dwarf and Defender got nerfed and stuff, and Shattered Sun got nerfed, that card got a lot less good at just providing bodies for your OP neutral cards.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Did we forget any other classes? I think that's it, right? I think we went through all the classes there. Well, we can talk about the mirror a little bit. I mean, obviously the mirror is happening a lot. I think it's pretty clear that Flare...
so fun.
Okay, let's talk about that. I know Flare is a big card. I mean, that's kind of obvious why it's a big card. But yeah, talk about the mirror a little bit.
It's so strange because everyone's playing like a 22-card deck with like 8 cards that are mostly useless. So like there's a sub-game in trying to make those 8 useless cards useful. So for example, Unleash the Hounds. Pretty terrible in the matchup. So that, but it's good if they play out like double Leper Gnome or something. They play out like 2 creatures, then you can get value out of it all of a sudden. So like if it's just like a different... Like you're just jockeying for position, trying to use all your mana every turn, trying to evaluate when to hero power, like trying to mitigate the value of your opponent's bad cards and maximize the value of your own. It's like it's a really fun matchup, actually, Hunter versus Hunter.
What are the biggest cards? Like the key, I mean, besides Flare, right? Or
just Flare and Bow.
Just Bow and Flare. Okay. Trump, thoughts? You play it much?
Nothing to add on that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure you've gotten a chance to play it much.
You gotta broaden your horizons, man.
Yeah, well...
Play Stone Tusk Boar, attack him down to 29 on turn 1. It's a good feeling. Trades for coin. It's sweet.
Nice. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's move on to the Shaman discussion. And again, we're going to revolve this around one of these guys' deck, and this one's going to be Trump's deck. So Trump, last week, you know, we talked about his free-to-play deck, and he's made some modifications to it this week. So let's start off by just having Trump kind of talk about some of those mods. Trump?
Okay. Do you happen to have them up side by side?
I do not, actually. I just have the current one.
Okay. Well, basically, the deck looks a lot more like your traditional Shaman that you would expect. It went up from costing, like, I think around 200 or 300 dust when I had it last week to here it's around 1,000 to 1,500, roughly.
Okay.
And,
I think I have it, actually. Let me bring it up. I think I have it.
Okay. It's pretty standard. It's got the 6/1 cost spells, which I think are essential to deal with the early game. One choice that I've made, which is a bit different, is the 2 axes and the 2 oozes. They help out the matchup against earlier game decks, I would say. And it's got just efficient cards.
Okay, so I do have the one from last week up now. So the one from last week is on the left here. And doesn't have a title, but this is it. So we can kind of compare the differences. Looking at it, looks like you added an axe. There's definitely some cards in here because you were just starting off and didn't have necessarily the dust or whatever to maybe purchase some of the other cool cards. But Bluegill Warrior is not in there. Another Feral. You can kind of see it. Kind of side by side here. Any big things worth mentioning? So Gnomish Inventor's not in it anymore.
That was a tough card to cut. So one of the things about Shaman is that I think this deck on the right side right now, you could argue that it's like on the efficient frontier in terms of it's a fine deck to play. Like the only card that I would say is should strictly be in here if it wasn't free to play as Blood Mage Thalness. Other than that, every single card you can debate on. If you were to remove a card and add a card, it would probably decrease a matchup and increase a matchup. So it's based on your call on what you think the matchups are going to be.
Okay. Renat, any comments on the most current deck?
No, it looks great. Although the most current one is probably card for card how I'd build it. I might only play one ooze, but that's like a second Yeti, but that's, looks great.
Okay. So why don't we talk about the Shaman in general? And this discussion will be mostly about just how to play Shaman and like the correct way to play Shaman and maybe just the philosophy in general in each of the matches. So let's start off by going, I think we already talked about Shaman versus Hunter a little bit. But let's talk Shaman versus Warrior, Control Warrior.
Let me group this up a bit more Shaman versus Aggro in general, Shaman versus Control in general, and that would probably be simpler.
Okay,
so
go for it.
Shaman versus aggro. You're going to really want, and then it also depends on the type of aggro, because if you're up against Hunter, then you don't really want the Rock Biter weapon, and you don't want the Lightning Bolt so much, since it's gross overkill on their minions. Mm-hmm. The Earth Shock, however, is good, and the Stormforged Axe, since that's efficient killing of their minions. You love the Ooze, the Feral Spirit is great, and the Unbound Elemental just to get something out early on 3. That goes for the most case against aggro. If you're up against Zoo or other such control-y type aggro decks where mm-hmm. they try to board control rather than just all-out rush your face, and it goes for like Rogue, Warlock. I haven't seen Warrior aggro in some bit, but it goes for that a bit. Paladin aggro, mm-hmm. just the general lump of aggro out there. You'll want to keep any one card, any two card that isn't Flame Tongue Totem. I want to keep the Feral Spirit and the Unbound Elemental and Lightning Storm, although it's difficult to keep Lightning Storm against decks that you're not sure are aggro.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic concept is you just play your spells, spend mana efficiently. If you don't spend mana efficiently, you're going to fall behind. And if you hold out until the late game, your cards will generally be better than theirs, and you'll win if you haven't lost too much life. Okay. I'll pass it on to Raynad before yeah. we switch on to. All
right, Raynad, comments on I guess playing against aggro decks with Shaman.
No, I pretty much covered it. Yeah, I don't think it's like for Shaman, it's not really necessary to go like class by class through everything. I agree yeah. with Trump. It's like okay. against the aggro decks, you want your cheap removal. You pretty much want Unbound Elemental in your opening hand in like every matchup, I would say. Like maybe not against Handlock if you know that's what they're on, but it's fine generally everywhere. And yeah, it's I mean Flame Tongue Totem you just kind of have to look at as a like not a two drop, it's more like a 6-drop, 5-drop, 4-drop type of card. So you probably mm-hmm. don't want to keep it in your opening hand in most matchups because you're not going to play it till later stages of the game. But yeah, so
okay,
pretty much covered it. Cheap removal against aggro and in the slower matchups, you know, hexes.
Yeah, let's talk about control. Just I guess the matchup against control. And
yeah, one of the cards that Raynad touched on, which is a big difference versus aggro and versus control, is the Flame Tongue Totem. So you never want to keep Flame Tongue Totem in your opening hand against either matchup because it's more of a late game card. But against aggro, it's more acceptable to play the Flame Tongue Totem when you have, say, just one totem out, and then you trade your 0-2 totem into their 3-2, whereas that is not acceptable in control. In control, you typically want to hold the Flame Tongue Totem until you have... I mean, the ideal play is holding it until you have all four totems on the board, and then you play the Flame Tongue Totem, and then you do, like, 8 damage with the Flame Tongue Totem when you combine it with all the other totems because of the way how the totems slide over to the Flame Tongue Totem once the original totem is dead.
Yep.
Generally against control, you'll want to keep... And this is more dependent because against, say, Druid or... Warrior control, for example, the Earthshock isn't that great against Druids because they have nothing to Earthshock traditionally. That's good. So I would mulligan the Earthshock even.
Okay.
Sometimes in some matchups, the Rockbiter weapon won't do much. For example, against Druids because they don't have much on 3 health that you can kill. The Harvest Golem comes back. Most of the Druid stuff has 4 health. Even against warriors, I don't really like keeping Rockbiter weapon. I might keep Lightning Bolt because with a spell damage totem, you can make it deal 4 to their Frothing Berserker.
Mm-hmm.
But just things like that, it's hard to talk about in broad strokes. It requires the specific matchup experience. Generally against control, it's a matchup of value where you get value by pressing your totem ability whenever possible.
Yep.
It depends on how slow the matchup is also. And near the end, when you're running out of cards, and you want to plan out getting a totem before you get to the point where you are forced to totem because you have to spend the mana, like you can ration it out so that you might have a better play this turn, but mm-hmm. you totem, and then you make a slightly less good play just so you can use your hero ability and get out of totem. Mm-hmm. In general, the matchups are just some in which you... have to get maximum value out of your cards and let's see, and you have to plan out ahead. That goes for aggro in particular as well. Like, say you're on turn 3, and you're thinking about casting Stormforged Axe, then you have to look ahead and say, oh, well, on turn 4, I'll have 3 mana, and then maybe you have Feral Spirit, and then, okay, on turn 5, I'll have 3 mana again. Then what do I do? So
yeah.
Lovely thing about Shaman is you often have to plan out your turns 1 or 2 turns in advance, and you also have to plan for all the contingencies of, like, oh, okay, if I press this totem right now, what are the chances? If I get the spell damage totem, what do I do? If I don't get the spell damage totem, what do I do? So it creates a lot of interesting sub-decisions.
Yeah, you brought up Overload a little bit, and I kind of want to discuss that between have you guys discuss it in just one sec. But Raynaud, what do you think of the control?
Yeah, Trump pretty much covered it.
Okay,
covered it all. Try to maximize value out of all your cards. And Shaman, like Shaman's strength in the control and control matchup is that it has one of the best, probably the second best hero power in the game for that matchup, because you're going to get more value out of a totem than like a paladin token, for example, or a dagger, or a like hitting them for one with the druid. It's like the only ability that might scale better in control and control matchups is warlock, but yeah, Shaman's just, like you said, maximize value out of that hero power. It's very, very potent in that matchup. It's going to maximize your flame tongue totem value. It's definitely the way you want to play it.
Yeah, it's definitely a stylistic thing, because you know this deck doesn't have that many big units at the end, you know, like the traditional rags and the Ysera's and those legendary cards. So yeah, just the, again, it's definitely a totally different style of play with Shaman, which is really, really cool. But okay, Overload, guys. I kind of want you guys to discuss it, because I think you guys have differing opinions on it. I mean, Raynaud, last time you were on, we talked a little bit at length of just how much you didn't like really Overload, or just how, just some of the cards that require Overload, and how it can be really bad for the Shaman. And Trump, I think you've always liked Overload, just the initial discount. So, yeah, Raynaud, so is that true? Is it still true, I guess, that opinion on
it? It depends on the card specifically. I love Feral Spirit, and I hate Lightning Storm and Lightning Bolt. But I just dislike Shaman as a class, honestly. I feel like no matter how you build it, there's a deck that has the same good matchups and slightly less bad matchups. Like, in most cases, I would defer to Druid, because it's going to be favored in the same matchups that Shaman is, at least on ladder, and instead of getting rolled by Hunter, you have like a solid chance in that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But for tournament play, it's a little different. People respect aggro less, and in the control matchups, I could see Shaman being like slightly more favored. But yeah, the Overload thing, right? So the reason I don't like Overload is the better you're, like, when you start playing at a like higher ranks, the better your opponents are, the more punishing Overload is, because they're going to keep track of when exactly you're going to have the mana available to do what. And they end up punishing you for the like those plays a lot of the time. I don't know. It kind of bothers me that how do I put this? You get one mana per turn in Hearthstone, right? So you want to like sequence cards turn after turn to generate better and better threats. You want to play a 4-drop on turn 4, 5-drop on turn 5, 6-drop on turn 6. Like, if I want to play a Lightning Bolt on some turn, and that means that next turn it means I'm playing a Yeti instead of an Azurdrake, like, it's, yeah, you have control over how you sequence your cards, but it ends up, you end up, like, falling behind a lot of times because of the mechanic, and it's, like, a problem that a deck like Druid doesn't have, or is it has a lot of the same strengths aside from Hex.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, Trump, I guess your thoughts on that.
Okay, I mean, that's... comments. Raynaud is correct in pointing out the negatives of Overload, but I'll point out the obvious positives. A 1-mana deal 3 damage spell is ludicrously good. A 2-mana 2-3 weapon is ludicrously good. A 3-mana get 2-3s is ludicrously good. Lightning Storm is the best AoE in the game for 3 mana. And basically, obviously, you can't count them for their base mana cost. You have to add the other ones on. But the point is, the turn that you play the Overload cards, you usually gain a huge advantage because the cards are so powerful relative to their mana cost, and your next turn is going to be less good as a result. So that's just the way the mechanic works, and it's a fair trade-off. I would argue that the Shaman doesn't have strictly worse matchups than the Druid. It has a few cards that are not directly comparable. For example, they get the constant use of the weapon with the Stormforge axe. They have some of the best class cards in the game, the Fire Elemental, the Hex, the Lightning Storm, even the Feral Spirit, and the Flame Tongue Totem. They just have different flavors, and I would say that they're both comparable as just solid decks on a control-ish side.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I think the one matchup that's different for the two decks is Handlock. Like, Shaman's favored there, whereas Druid's disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's maybe it's just a playstyle thing. I've played a lot of Shaman in my life, and it's a class that always ends up disappointing me for one reason or another. But I definitely it's weird because the individual cards are so good, and I love the playstyle too. I don't know, something about it. I just, anytime I want to play it, I'm just like, oh, I'll just play Warrior Control instead. I just like the matchups more.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know, just.
Well, that's the thing about Hearthstone, right? I mean, there definitely is stylistic things, and you're going to gravitate more towards the things that you're going to enjoy more, or you just, you know, just fits your type of play a lot more. And that's why we have so many different classes and different decks. So it's cool that we have that option. All right, well, why don't we wrap up the deck portion there, and we can talk maybe some Q&A, I guess, with the stream chat, and as well as the folks in Reddit. But what we're gonna do, guys, we kind of did this last week, is I'm gonna let the subscribers kind of ask their questions first. So we're gonna go into subscriber mode. So don't freak out, guys. I know you guys always freak out for seconds, but subscribers, any of the subscribers in the current channel, they have questions. Go ahead and what were you gonna say, Renan?
I think you were cutting in and out a bit.
Oh, was I? Okay.
No, you were going fine to me.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it's
okay. Yeah, my end.
Yeah. So any subs that you have any questions right now, go ahead and ask. But in the meantime, I'll ask an initial question just to kind of get us going. All right. It looks like Dragozar, he's asking, I feel mages have been... Wait, let's see. Been awesome... Sorry. That's the wrong question. I apologize there. It's actually Sir Buckeye. Is there a top-tier mage deck out there waiting to be discovered? Or is mage virtually dead until new cards are released? If so, what might it look like? Trump, I'll let you take it first, since you've been doing some experimentation with mage in the recent history.
Yeah, so I had thought to create a mage deck that would be generally solid against most decks, in the same line of Druid and in the same line as, I would argue, Shaman, which is just to have a reasonable matchup against all the mm-hmm. things. And the major downfall that I had when I compared Mage to Druid is just one card, the Ancient of Lore. If Mage had Ancient of Lore, I think it would be better than Druid, but it doesn't, and that makes it so much worse. And when I compare it to Shaman, Shaman has Hex, which is a better card than Polymorph, and it's got Fire Elemental, which is just really good. So Mage has some tricks of their own. They have, the Control Mage that we're talking about. They've got some very efficient removal, Frostbolt Fireball, which doubles as a secondary win condition sometimes. You throw it at their face and ends the game faster. Mm-hmm. So I think the class is fine, maybe a little bit on the weak side. It hasn't been explored. That's my stance.
Okay. Renan?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree. It's just like in any other game. Like, the reason that something doesn't see play is not because it's just bad necessarily in a vacuum. It's because something does what it does better, basically. So any way you build Mage, if you want to build it as a control deck, like Trump said, Druid is just going to be more robust, not just because of Ancient Lore, but just like, well, pretty much because of Ancient Lore. Like, you have life gain, it's just like a better, you have a better matchup across the board, usually, against most things than Mage would. And it's, if you want to build Mage as an aggro deck, like you know the free-to-play Warrior aggro deck that I made, like, the first time I did the free-to-play run several months ago? The way that deck started was actually because of the Mage nerf. They nerfed Pyroblast, and I wanted to Mage work. I wanted to make Mage work still, so I made a Mage aggro deck. And I discovered Nightblade in that deck because it was, like, the best aggressive 5-drop. I was, I was like Leper Gnome. I was trying to make Mage work. I was playing like one Ravenholt Assassin as like a Pyroblast you can actually cast. And I looked at it and I'm like, wow, you know, it doesn't do anything better than Warrior. Fiery War Axe is more damage per mana. Arcanite Reaper is just Pyroblast, more damage per mana. Like, even if you want to build it aggressive, another class does it better. And if you want to build it controlling, another class does it better. So there's like, there's no unique niche that it fills, and that's kind of the problem right now.
Yeah, now that Reyna said that, I actually want to add on to that, because there is a unique niche that it fills. It just happens to not be very good right now. Mage has one of the best cards in the game, I would say, in the Flame Strike. But the problem is that Flame Strike is not very good right now, because Hunters are popular, and you can't Flame Strike a Hunter. Warlock Kazoo, the Flame Strike is actually quite good against it, because it's a little bit slower than your usual like all-to-the-face Warlock decks. And if the Warlock decks get even just a little bit slower, then Mage might be good. And against Shaman, in particular, Mage is really good since Shamans can't heal, so you save your direct damage for it, and then you usually have really strong Flame Strikes. So basically, in a world where the area of effect of Flame Strike is better, then you'll see Mage control be quite a bit better, but it's not time right now.
It's kind of throwing something out there, kind of looking at retro Mage, and with the freeze mechanic, that used to be just one of the biggest parts of Mage, and it doesn't really work against Hunter, obviously, just because, like you said, the minions are so small and that whole bit. But does that need to be re-explored at all? Especially, against control decks, just the whole freeze mechanic, because that's a big part of, that's at least a decent part of Mage, at least their class abilities, and if that's just not even relevant at all, then, that removes a lot of value from the Mage. Trump, any comments?
Yeah. Freeze doesn't do much against classes that don't run a lot of minions, for example, the Hunter. And that's just one of the weaknesses, I guess.
Or even like Ice Block, that's one in some of the Freeze decks. And Ice Barrier, too, is just, it's like life gain, right? Especially against those decks.
It's reasonable. Some of them, like in... There have been some Mage decks run in tournaments as well, as of late. So it's a deck to consider.
Okay. Reynard, comments?
I think they definitely over-nerfed the freeze deck, and I'm pretty disappointed about that. Back when it was like when Ladder was first made, it was just popularized because of I think Wreckful's stream, and the metagame already solved itself within like 2 days, and they nerfed it anyway. And I thought that was pretty disappointing because that was a pretty cool type of deck, in my opinion. It would be very balanced right now because it just isn't that good against like Control Warrior or like Hunter, like decks that don't have creatures for you to freeze or AoE. So I think they kind of over nerfed the freeze aspect of Mage, and I kind of wish that they would give it a little bit, but
yeah, it definitely, I agree, I totally agree, it would actually be very balanced right now. Totally. So it'd be cool. I used to love that mechanic too. It really made the Mage just unique versus all the others. So hopefully they'll bring it back in some very subtle, finessey way. Okay, looking at some of the other, some of the subscriber questions here. Timbler asks, why doesn't Deathwing get played much? Or get much play? We talked a little bit about this recently, but Reynard, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, he's a guy, so last week I was playing him in everything. Warrior Control, Druid, everything, because my logic was anything that costs over 7 mana is, like, useless against aggro anyway, and he's higher impact than something like Ragnaros or whatever. But then the more I played with him, the more I realized why he's not as good as those cards, and it's, the reason is you can't play him when you're ahead, and that's, like, that's a way bigger drawback than I thought. In my head, I'm like, oh, if I'm ahead on board, it doesn't matter that I can't play this card, because... I'm winning anyway, but the way the game's panned out is because I couldn't play it and just like, if you're ahead and you play a Ragnaros, the game's over. But because I couldn't play the Deathwing in those situations, it gave my opponent like time to catch up again. So a lot of times you'd rather have a card that's like Deathwing's really good if you're behind, but rarely will it be enough to win the game. And, it's more of like a tournament card. So like next level, the Warrior Control Mirror or something, yeah. I think. But on Ladder, it's just you want something that you can play when you're ahead on board, not just when you're behind.
Okay. Trump, Deathwing.
It's well said. I had a moment where I put Deathwing in all my decks. I actually ran it in one of the Fight Nights earlier. The main problem with Deathwing, past what Reyna's saying, I'd say an even bigger problem is that it is one of the cards that costs more than 7, which tends to be really bad against aggro. And I'd say, like, the number of cards which you should run over 7 right now might be, like, less than 2. Like, you'd run Ragnaros, maybe, which also isn't very good against aggro, incidentally. Unless you're in very specific matchups, like against the Hunter, where you're not trying to trigger their traps. Yeah. But, the metagame is too fast to run cards over 7, I'd say.
Okay. All right, we'll take one last question from the subs here, and then we'll do maybe one or two from the Reddit. So Larwood, he asks, have either of you tried summoning Portal recently? I've been experimenting, and it seems to have great potential because it smothers rush decks and overpowers control decks. Any thoughts? I haven't played a summoning portal in ages.
Sounds cool. I don't know. I thought about trying it in Handlock, but it's the only deck I've considered putting it in.
Mm-hmm.
Might be good. I mean, it's a powerful, unique effect.
Yeah, what do you think, Trump?
You could gain, like, it's basically Innervate, is what I'm going to say. And
okay, yeah.
It's not good because it's basically Innervate, which you can only use when you're on like turn 6 plus, because you spend 4 mana on the summoning portal and then you save, and then say you play 2-3 drops. Wait, no, that doesn't even save anything. You need to play the summoning portal on turn 7 and then you need to play 3 things for you to have saved 6 mana, which means the 4 mana you paid for the summoning portal, like, so.
Right.
You can only play it on turn 7 and save mana if you play 3 drops. The summoning portal sucks.
That's one way to look at it. There's a chance it lives, though. You don't necessarily need to get all the mana back the turn you play it. Like, if you have if you're playing it in Handlock, which, again, is the only deck I would even consider it in, maybe being good. I haven't tested it. But if you, like, set it up behind an Ancient Watcher, so it's more likely to live, and they don't have, like, a Soulfire or whatever to kill it, see that, like, maybe letting you chain, I don't know, guys that draw cards. I wouldn't completely discount it just because it's, like, a unique effect, but you can make the same argument about Alarmabot, which is never going to see play, so, yeah.
Whoa, hey, that card.
I was about to bring Alarmabot up, so, okay. Talk to me.
3-mana 0-3.
On a Handlock?
Okay, I mean, you just said a 4-mana 0-4 had potential.
Yeah, it's 0-4. It's like a whole different class of cards that kill it. That's, well... Well, the thing with Summoning Portal's effect is 100% of the time, it's good. Alarmabot's effect? You're skipping, like, the Battle Cry. Maybe you get the other Alarmabot into play. Maybe, like, you're not just going to not play cheap cards. So maybe it... Alarmabot's, like, inconsistent because it's random. Summoning Portal, if you get it to live, it's, like, 100% going to be high impact. I mean, imagine having it survive for a turn and then going to, like, turn 5 or 6 and having, like, 6 mana to work with. That's, like, with Summoning Portal out, that's playing your entire hand.
Yeah.
That could be really high impact as long as the creatures are, like, resilient to AoE type stuff. I don't know. Yeah. It's a cool card. I haven't played with it enough to
say. It is a cool card. The main problem is just that if you skip turn 4, you're going to lose a lot. And that's why it's... I mean, you can't really play it on turn 4 unless you're really far ahead, in which case you probably would have gotten even more far ahead by playing something like a Yeti or a Pit Lord or something.
It's like a 95% chance it's terrible, definitely.
But getting back to Alarmabot, which cards would be bad in the Handlock that you think?
An Alarmabot?
Yeah.
If you cheat, well, that wouldn't even be bad. That
wouldn't
be good.
Bad. 15? Pretty good.
It's more that, like, you're investing 3 mana into a 3 health creature and then they'll kill it. Like, I can't even get Harvest Golem to live. What if you cheat an Iron Beak Owl, like Blood Mage Leroy? Like, these cards are just not going to play. Even if you cheat in a Twilight Drake, it's like you 2-for-1 to yourself to save a mana on a card, if that makes sense. It's like you're playing a coin if you're lucky.
Because
that Alarmabot could be a removal spell. Like, you're playing it instead of something else. And if the benefit is, like, yeah, sometimes you get one of your 4 giants, and sometimes you get something that you could just cast anyway. Like, instead of paying, I don't know, I don't like it. But
yeah, basically, it's for something super techy and cool, and the cards might not be here yet, but maybe with a future expansion, you could revisit those cards, and they could be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
fair enough. Maybe like Conceal, it could be cool. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like... Oh, I left out KOLO. Okay, he has a question. Let's see. What's the best type of deck to go up the ladder with? I mean, depends. Both of you guys have scaled the ladder, obviously, recently, and started over multiple times in a season, so...
In my opinion, it just depends. Like, the best deck will depend on your rank, but my suggestion is just pick something that you're comfortable with, that you know you'll play well. Just the list that you're confident in, because I think you can make it from 25 to Legend with any single deck. Like, I've done it 3 or 4 times. It's not, like, as long as you play the deck well, it doesn't really matter what you're playing, in my opinion. Some decks are going to have a harder time. They're going to take more games. Like, for Trump right now, for example, he's trying to do it with Shaman. That's, like, it's very tough right now because how much Hunter there is, but he'll still be able to do it because in the long run, like, the win percentage will be high enough, so...
I guess I'll read the question. What do you think is the deck that's the easiest to understand for somebody just, you know, just starting off, and it's their first attempt to scale the ladder?
Zoo, I guess. The deck is powerful and it's forgiving. It's actually, like, to play it optimally is hard, but you could play it suboptimally and still do well. So.
Yeah, I think that I'd agree with that.
I'll agree with that. Just because it has fewer options since you don't have spells.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense. Okay, maybe one or two of these questions. Let's see. JKQN asks, what is the strongest deck playstyle against Control Warrior? I feel like any deck I play just loses to it, including Standard, Druid, and Shaman. That's a good question. It's a good deck.
Trump's deck is
Trump,
to start.
Yeah.
Okay. There are 3 decks that I can... that I believe are favored against Control Warrior. This free-to-play Shaman, I have a winning percentage against Control Warrior. And I think Shaman in general has a strong win percentage against Warrior just because their hero ability totems, it's difficult for the Warrior to be dealt with. Let's see, Druid can out-aggro them. They can out-efficient them. That's not as favored, I'd say, but still pretty good. And a general aggro deck, which doesn't just run all one health minions, so that they don't get whirlwinded away, like Zoo, should be good.
Yeah.
Agree with Trump. Those are all 3 of those decks have favorable matchups. The Shaman matchup's the closest. Shaman is favored, but it's very slight. It's like 60-40, and depends on whether they play Brawl or Berengeddon.
Yeah.
And the one deck that has the single highest win percentage against it is actually Aggro Warrior. Because that's above 80% in that matchup. It's very, very, very hard for Control Warrior to beat Aggro Warrior, actually, which I was kind of surprised on. And Handlock. Those are like, Handlock is definitely favored. You just have to, if you play Handlock and you're trying to beat Control Warrior, just always keep Gromosh in mind and make sure that you have Taunt Creatures set up if you're at 14 or you're 12, 14? I'm 12, 12 or less.
But yeah, 12, 12 is what Gromosh kills with the task, right? Yeah, I think I'd agree with those. Definitely, definitely tough. Any of those matchups, well, except for Druid, I think, and the aggro war you said, they usually rely on the Brawl. You almost have to always have Brawl or a Baron, some way of clearing the board. Otherwise, man, Warrior just gets rolled hard. Big time.
Taunt Totem is tough to beat.
God, yeah. Any of those guys on the board. Even Heal Totem is annoying as hell.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Alright, looking to see anything. Okay. Well, okay, there's a question about BlizzCon. Oh, no, actually, let me ask you this one. Ben B, he's got a good question. Raynaud, what are your opinions on the viability of Pit Lord? I saw a previous iteration of Zoo with two Pit Lords in it. And I assumed it was removed because of the burn heavy meta, where taking 5 damage is a bit too hefty. Do you think once UTH hunters are nerfed, Pit Lord might see play in Warlock beatdown lists?
It's a very narrow card. The way that the Zudek, the way that I built it, at least, as I started, I was playing on the Asia server for the first time, and that metagame was nothing but Druid and Shaman for like a full day. I think 20 matches in a row I got paired against Druid and Shaman, maybe like one rogue deck. So I wanted an aggressive deck that beats those. That's why I played Pit Lord, because the card is phenomenal in both those matchups. It just destroys them. So it's like main deck Black Knight, like a really high curve, beefy Warlock aggro deck. And I transitioned that into the NA ladder, which actually had aggro, so I had to lower the curve, make it a more balanced deck. Instead of having like these 80-20 mid-range matchups, it had like 60-40s across the board until the metagame adapted, which was pretty impressive, I think, for a deck to have 60-40 against everything. That's like pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't anymore, but it used to. But yeah, Pit Lords, like, as a card is... That's what I mean. Like, if the metagame is all Druid Shaman, like it was in Asia that one day, like, that's when you want to play it. It's Pit Lord's also good in a... If I were to play a tournament, I would consider, like, the Pit Lord Zoo deck as, like, a counter to the mid-range decks that are really popular. I'm pretty sure it would destroy Control Warrior as well. But, yeah.
Yeah, it would do pretty well against Control. What do you think, Trump?
Yeah, I think Raynad has just hit it dead on, and I'd even go as far as to say that's just the mentality that a deck builder needs to be able to see what the metagame is and then know what type of cards are good against that. And he's right, the Pit Lord is extremely good against the mid-range because you don't care so much about your life total, you care more about controlling the board, mm-hmm. having a big guy, and that's just the perfect card in that case. But against a lot of aggro, it's bad.
Yeah, you just can't play it against Hunter.
Yeah. Last question. Shaz19, Trump. Reynard has previously said that aggro takes more skill to play. Do you agree with this?
Oh, I'm so happy this was asked, because if it wasn't, I was going to have my closing statement where I would defend Reynard on this. So, there's been a lot of talk about how, oh my gosh, aggro decks or hunter decks take no skill. You hit the face, you play your guys, you hit the face, you spend all your mana, and then you hit the face some more. It turns out that, yeah, that's the way a novice would play the deck. But if you want to play the deck really well, there are a lot of choices. There are more choices than a control deck because, like you said, you have you actually have choices. You have to choose which one card to play, when you have a lot of different cards with the same mana cost. And the difference is you're going to ultimately deal something like 2 or 3 or 4 less damage if you make the wrong play. And that doesn't seem like a lot, and a lot of the times the 2, 3, 4 damage isn't going to matter. Like Reynard says it's going to matter a lot, but I'd say it doesn't matter that much, but it does matter. And that's where the skill of playing the deck comes from. And sometimes you play it in a way that you save an extra minion, sometimes you play it in a way that you deal an extra 2 to 4 damage, and that'll increase your win percentage a lot.
So is it harder than control?
That's that's such a stack question. That's it's depends on the control deck, depends on the aggro deck.
All decks take some amount of skill to play.
Yeah,
all decks, no deck in Hearthstone is just face roll easy to play. But generally, a lower curve is going to have more different permutations of more different combinations that you can spend your mana in a given turn if your curve is lower. So generally, I would say aggro is as difficult, if not slightly more difficult to play than control, assuming playing optimally.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff even to Zoo. Just positioning with Dire Wolves next to Taunt Creatures, for Defender of Argus by putting Argent Squires in the middle of stuff, even when you don't have Defender of Argus in hand, you have to be thinking about that. It's all these little things that 99.9% of players don't think about, and they all really do matter when you're playing at the highest level. It's once you get high ranked, it's that's the difference. It's not some astronomical difference between a legendary player and a rank 10 player. It's just a bunch of small edges that you look to get. And getting all of those small edges it's tough with an aggro deck. It's a lot harder than people think.
Yeah, I think we talked about it recently, just that generally I think aggro decks, they have a little bit of a bad connotation, maybe, just with some of the competitive events, right? Every time an aggro deck comes up, I think it is treated a little bit less quality than, say, a control deck, just because the games are just at times shorter, and the variance can be a certain way. But totally agree, to actually have your winning percentage optimal takes a lot of analysis and just being, a lot of experience to know exactly what to play and to optimize that, because, like you said, a lot of the people that are playing it right now in ladder get stuck at rank 5 or something like that. And they just don't know how to get, you know, just that next level into just even the bottom of Legend. And not to mention the people at the top of Legend is like, you know, another level, right? So, go ahead, Trump.
I actually want to even say that one thing that I will disagree on with Reynad is he's stated numerous times that at the highest level, aggro is the hardest deck to play. I'd say there are a lot of decisions that aggro you have to make, but he's underestimating the amount of decisions you have to make as a control player as well. Like, you make the argument that every turn you're just going to cast the highest mana cost, and yeah, that's all very good and true, actually, in the early game, but a lot of the times you have to make the decision not to do something as well, and that's probably the main skill about what a control deck is. Do you, especially in control versus control, do you not cast this thing now in hopes of doing it at a later time? Do you eschew this decision to do something less good now but could be better later? And that's, I'd say at the high level, that is a really big factor, possibly bigger than aggro.
I agree with that. Saving your executes and stuff, depending on the matchup, as long as you can, until you absolutely have to play them. Same thing with like Big Game Hunter and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's definitely, like, the more control warrior and stuff I play, the more, it's like a different skill set between the two decks. But yeah, it's,
yeah,
I agree that control is also hard to play. I think every deck in Hearthstone is nearly very hard to play optimally.
Yeah,
I have a perfect game, maybe 1 in 10 games, like, where I make no mistakes at all. Like, that's very hard to do with any deck.
Yeah, it's amazing how much subtlety there is in that.
Yeah.
And it's not something that the difficult guy is going to just pick up by just watching. Like, they'll say, oh, okay, that play looked fine. But it's hard to find the best play every single turn. And it's just a different skill set between a control deck and an aggro deck. I wouldn't say one side's harder or the other. And maybe you're a certain type of player and you're more in tune with a certain style, and then that's the type you gravitate to. Like, it's no secret that I gravitate more towards control decks.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, one thing that just, you know, one at last tidbit or a question to add to that is, you know, looking at just the events that we've seen, you know, just the fight nights and just a lot of the invitations and just all those things, right? I think you rarely see actually two decks. Let's say they're running three decks. You rarely see two of them be aggro. I think you'll, for the most part, you'll see two control decks and then one aggro. So I feel like it is skewed towards control at the, you know, maybe the highest, just at least the highest levels for the people that do play in a lot of these events. What do you think of that right now? Because I've heard your opinions before on it, and I kind of want to get your opinions on Valuetown about, do you think that aggro's not played enough right now at the highest level?
There's very few people that there are very 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 few like people at that play at these events that have played enough of every single aggro deck to know exactly the intricacies of every single matchup. I feel like they're more comfortable playing against the decks, and that's one of the reasons they go towards control. But it's also that control rarely has a matchup that's like completely unwinnable. Even an aggro deck that's favored against control, it's not going to be like 90-10. It's going to be more like 70-30 at most, most of the time. So a control deck will have like a fighting chance in a lot of matchups, and it's kind of a safe pick that people will make. But the biggest reason, honestly, and it was kind of the same thing in Magic, is that the way that a lot of the best players get their strategy, decide the specific cards in their decks for these events, is they talk to the other best players. And it becomes this like general consensus that these control decks are like the safer pick, like they're the decks that everyone's more comfortable with, and there isn't really somebody out there that's like, hey, here's this aggro deck that's like perfectly tuned in this and this and this matchup, like let's practice with this. You know, I feel like that happens less, and I think once the competitive scene in Hearthstone develops, maybe that'll change. I don't know.
The only guys that we've seen recently that I can just label as, okay, he likes aggro, it's probably Nimsh. I think out of all the people that we've seen recently, so, I mean, there is at least one person, I think, that does skew a little bit more towards that. But, yeah, for the most part, I think I agree with that. I don't know, what do you think, Trump? Do you think that's true? I mean, not just a stylistic thing where, I know with you, like you definitely like just control that style just in general, but do you think there is this kind of consensus that control decks are maybe safer or more preferred?
I think there's Iranian's right in the part that the players who play in tournaments do talk with each other and then talk about what they think the best decks are and whatnot. And there is a general consensus that, like, Druid's pretty safe, Shaman's pretty safe, Control Warrior's pretty safe, blah, blah, blah. It turns out that Zhu is starting to be regarded as pretty safe as well and, like, doesn't have any terrible matchups. So it's getting there.
But the disrespect initially when that, like, when that video came out, like, everyone said, like, I don't know. Well, not everywhere. I don't know. I wasn't in those conversations, but I know Ecop was talking a lot of crap about it. It's, I don't know. I think aggro's generally, it has to do a lot to prove itself. It had to turn into half of the ladder for a week and, like, be played by, like, one player at an event and do well before, like, people really respected it. And it's like, I don't know. I think you'll start seeing more and more aggro once people, like, players just kind of broaden their experience with different decks and stuff.
God, we already see a lot of aggro. We're going to see more and more aggro. That would be cool. No, but yeah, I agree. Just the last, you know, the last season and a half, you know, we've seen Warrior aggro. We've seen Pally aggro. We've seen, you know, now into Hunter aggro. And Warrior or Warlock aggro has just been here forever. So we got healthy amounts of aggro decks out there. So definitely good. Good place, good place. All right, guys. Well, why don't we wrap up the show? It's you know, it's been good. It's been great getting a chance to discuss a lot of the things going on in the metagame with you guys. And hopefully all the viewers, you know, have enjoyed it. And again, I apologize for the lag earlier, guys. Hopefully the VOD should be good. So if you guys want to rewatch the beginning on the VODs, that would probably be good. And so that you will you'll just have the normal experience. But Reynaud, awesome having you on, buddy. It's like,
thanks for having
always giving you. It's always fun. Great to have you on just to get your insights. And then you and Trump just together is just really cool and awesome. But you want to do some shout outs? Thank yous.
Hey, shout out to HyperX and Phoenix. Thanks for sponsoring me. And shout out to the viewers. Thanks for watching, guys. And yeah, I'll shout out to my team once we finally pick a name. I've got a whole lot of projects lined up. I won't announce them here just yet, but yeah, okay. It's going to be some exciting stuff for the community in the next coming month, I think.
Awesome. So you're forming your own team.
Yep.
All right. Best, cool.
Yeah, the roster right now I'm really, really happy with, but it's a huge project, and it's not just a team. It's a whole lot of other stuff for the community that I'm pretty excited to announce soon. But yeah, I really like the roster right now.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
Can't wait to see that. That should be Reynaud's Rough Riders. Is that the name?
It's better than most of, I don't know. I tried to ask people names. To give suggestions. They're all salt related.
Salt related. Okay, yeah, maybe there'll be a straw poll out there soon, just what the team name should be. But very cool. Look forward to seeing it and hearing about it, because you know, I know the community could use as just more events and that sort of thing, more events, teams, all that good stuff too. So Trump, yeah, of course, always great to have you on, buddy. And you want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to my YouTube video editor and producer, Corey, who unfortunately recently left. So I'm in the business of looking for a new one. If you're interested, I have a new YouTube video out which details that. But thank you so much to him for the excellent work he's done this entire time.
Yeah, awesome. So any video editors, definitely take him up on it. Just reach. How do they reach out to you, Trump? Oh, that's probably on the video, right? I'm going to link the video maybe, because might be some video editors that haven't been that didn't catch your stream or your video here.
Yeah, it's the most recent one on my YouTube, Trump SC. I'll give you the direct link.
Okay, cool. Great. For me, I just want to just give a shout out to all the viewers. Obviously, these two guys too for doing it. And I do want to plug one event that's going to be starting in a day or two. And that is the, hold on, I'm linking Trump's YouTube here. And that's the actual TESPA tournament, the Collegiate Hearthstone Open, and I'm going to link it here too. And for all of you college students out there, TESPA is a great organization. It's a it was Texas Esports Association. I'm not sure if it's expanded to something bigger. The name of it is something bigger now. But it's basically an association that helps each college campus kind of organize their own esports association there. And, you know, the one at Texas, they ran these pretty much professional-sized events for StarCraft II and League of Legends. Had some awesome, awesome tournaments and events, and you know, did really well. Even like got more viewers than Red Bull, you know, on the very, very first one. And a lot of the students learn a lot of like how to produce, you know, esports events and run them, admin them, just everything. You kind of learn to have a great experience. And that's kind of what this organization does. And they're starting to get into Hearthstone a little bit. They're running this tournament. It's going to be, I think it's going to be them, Blizzard, and Twitch kind of all partnered in on this. It's $5,000 all for scholarships. All college students can enter it. It's free. And it starts March 29th. So it's going to be, on Saturday? And there's going to be a lot of pit players playing, but the winner gets the chance to fly out to PAX East, and the semifinalists, actually. All the semifinalists get to fly out to PAX East and play the semis and finals there. And it looks like the prize pool is $2,500 for first, $1,500 for second, $500, $500 for third, fourth. So really cool. Good way to pay your tuition, guys. And you just have to play Hearthstone, man. Just how badass is that, right? So check that out when you can. And yeah, that's going to be it, guys. You can find the VODs for this show on youtube.com/ChamMV, any of the past episodes, any of my other shows if you enjoy those too. Be sure to follow the channel. It's a great way to get notified whenever my stream goes live with the shows or whatnot, and really, really appreciate that. And follow us all on Twitter, at ChanManV, at TrumpSC, and at Raynaud30...
Raynaud27 on Twitch.
Oh, Andre, what about Twitter? It's Andre.
It's, Andre YANYUK. I have no idea why I made it that, but
you gotta change.
It's young and irresponsible.
Exactly. You can change it, right?
Probably. I'm way too lazy. Yeah. How much clicking that would take?
Oh my god. Okay.
People can search for Raynaud. It probably comes up.
Yeah, I think it's the first thing that comes up all the time too. So, yeah. So, anyways, follow us on Twitter, and yeah, I think that's gonna be it, guys. For Valuetown this week, so for Raynaud.
Oh, one more thing.
Okay, one more thing. Yeah.
I recently sang a song for good to celebrate. Well, not celebrate, but to memorialize Corey's departure. But you know, the same goes for you, Chan, man. It's
okay.
Because I knew you, I believe I have also been changed for good. So thank you for hosting.
Wow! Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Wow, the feels at the end of this. I mean, it caught me by surprise. But okay, guys, that's going to be it for Valuetown this week. So for Raynaud, Trump, and ChamManV, we will see you next time. Later.